time. Over the middle, intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20, needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time, Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up, deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz, 35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants!
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. It's all brought to you by Andrew Mark. You can also chime in on Twitter, little hashtag Giants chat. And since we've kind of been talking and regurgitating the same stuff over these past few weeks with very little player movement so far, the Giants obviously did make some tough decisions, letting go Canty, Bradshaw, Boley. They re-signed William Beatty. But for the most part, it's been a quiet month and a half since the season's ended for Big Blue. And that's understandable. That's all about to change. On Saturday the 9th, the Giants will be able to talk to other free agents, and starting on the 12th, they will be able to start signing those free agents, and the same goes for the rest of the NFL. So we're going to start getting some nice rumors and some nice player movement, which is even more important, starting next week. And that should be a lot of fun. I look forward to that. So instead of just going through the same stuff that we've done all year long, we're going to try to do something a little bit different today. Let's look back with the draft on the horizon, and let's get your take. I'll give you mine. On who you think the best Giants draft pick is over the past 10 years. And I know what everybody's answer is going to be, Eli Manning. Not going to work. Not a Giants draft pick. He was acquired in a trade for Phillip Rivers. So Eli Manning cannot be your selection. So that makes things a little bit more difficult. Now, we're going back 10 years. So the first draft in the mix is 2003. I'm going to work my way back as I go through these draft years. Off just one season in the NFL, you can't realistically select anybody from last year's draft class, as well as David Wilson played on special teams and then the flashes he showed in the running game, and as good as Reuben Randall was at times at the end of the year, can't count any of those guys. Go back to 2011. The only starter out of that group right now is Prince Amukamara. To put him in a top draft pick in the past 10 years, little much hasn't done quite enough yet, despite the fact he had a good bounce-back year in year number two as a member of the Giants. Now, this is when you start getting into the contenders. Take a look at 2010. You had two very good draft picks that year. In the second round, you pick Linville Joseph. He's been a starter. Good value in round number two. But, of course, your first-round pick, Jason Pierre-Paul. Hard to argue with that. He's had a great three seasons. Last year was a step back. First-round pick, maybe he's your favorite draft pick of the past 10 years. I think he's in the mix, but the question is, has he done enough in his time in the NFL to warrant that as you go through some of the guys that have been at it a little bit longer? If you like JPP at number 15 overall in 2010, how can you not love Akeem Nicks at number 29 the year before? He's been just as dominant a wide receiver, made big play after big play. The Giants do not win the 2011 Super Bowl without Akeem Nicks. And they got him 14 picks later than JPP. So if you love JPP, how about Nicks? I think that's a fair argument you can make. And then, of course, you had William Beatty in round two in that draft as well back in 2009. Also a very solid pick. He's turned into a starting left tackle. The Giants just extended his contract. So that's a guy you got to take a look at as well. Now, back to 2008, you actually had three pretty good picks, but injuries and free agency has really cost the Giants in terms of their 2008 draft class. Now, Kenny Phillips was their pick in the first round. He obviously has dealt with a lot of knee problems. Same with Terrell Thomas, their second-round pick. Terrell Thomas could have been in this conversation if he would have stayed healthy. He showed he was becoming a top cornerback in the NFL, and as a second-round pick to get a guy that can shut another receiver down, that's saying something. So if Terrell Thomas hadn't gotten hurt and now he's trying to come back from that third knee surgery, I think he could be in this conversation. Now he can't. Mario Manningham, solid at pick number three, but again, he's moved on to the San Francisco 49ers. But something you can talk about if you want. 2007. Here's the funny thing about 2007. A couple of these guys helped the Giants with a pair of Super Bowls, but nobody's left on the roster. Aaron Ross moved on in free agency. Steve Smith, the injury. Jay Alford, the injury. Zach Diassi is the only guy that's left as a long snapper. Kevin Boss, left, has concussion problems. Adam Coates, out of the league. Michael Johnson, out of the league. And Ahmad Bradshaw just got let go by Big Blue. So, where do you want to go there? It's a good question. It's a good draft class, but would I name any one of those individual guys a great draft pick? Not sure I'd do that. We'll continue to go through the years on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. And let's go to our phone and say hello to Andrew in Medford, New York. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
What's going on, pal?
As far as the Giants' best draft picks, you know, you got different positions, you know, different players. You can argue, I guess, either way. But I would say Hakeem Nicks.
Now, here's the question, and I've kind of narrowed it down to three guys here as I've gone along. I have a dark horse in there, too. Nicks is one of them. JPP is one of them. You have to like OC as a number two in 2003.
Uh-huh.
Getting OC
I have
as a second.
One to say, too, David Deal.
And David Deal, he's another guy. He's a dark horse. As a fifth-round pick in 2003, he was a starting left tackle for two Super Bowls. That's big. And, you know, you can
solid
even
10 years there, too, in his position.
No question. And even another guy, I know he left in free agency, but Barry Colfield as a fourth-round pick, he was a top starting tackle in this league for a long time. And let's not forget, Justin Tuck was a third-round pick in 2005. So you have a lot of good picks. Brandon Jacobs, a fourth-round pick. Corey Webster, a second-round pick. All very good selections. But I think in terms of being, at least on offense, a game-breaking type of threat, it's hard to go wrong with Hakeem Nicks and what he's done for this team.
Absolutely. I mean, that catch he made on the sideline in the Super Bowl last year, and he does that often. It's not like he was just a fluke and he made that catch. I mean, this guy knows where to plant his feet, and Eli knows where to throw it to, you know?
And
I mean, that's his go-to guy, no doubt.
And how about the Hail Mary getting to the Super Bowl against the Green Bay Packers in the divisional round of the playoffs? Without that play, that game against the Packers could be very, very different.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the impact player Nicks is. I mean, I don't think they'll go far in the postseason without him, you know, if they get into that situation again, too. That's a guy you definitely need playing.
No question about it. I appreciate the call, Andrew. Thanks a lot, bud.
You got it, bro. Have a good one.
You too, man. 201-939-4513. Mike Farmer chimes in on Twitter. T2, never a shutdown corner. When he made the Pro Bowl, he also led up the most catches in the league. So wrong on that one. I disagree. I think Terrell Thomas was a very, very good cornerback when he was with the Giants. I'll argue when he was at his best, he was better than Corey Webster. He was a very hard guy to go after. He was good against the run. He could blitz off of the slot. He could play the outside, and he could play the slot. Well, let's not discount how good Terrell Thomas when he was healthy. Mike, I have to disagree with you on that one. I really do. I got to disagree on that. Terrell Thomas was excellent. Oh, that's a good one, too. Shy E at G-Men writes in, Ahmad Bradshaw, as a seventh rounder, turns into the starting running back for the Giants, two Super Bowl rings as a big-time running back for the Giants. I could see that as a seventh-round pick. You're looking for value. Ahmad Bradshaw gives you serious value in that seventh round. No one thought he was going to give the Giants as much as he did. And if he didn't have those foot injuries, who knows how good he could possibly be. So I like that one. That's a good one. What else we got here? Michael Tonner writes in, McTonner07 on Twitter. Going by last year, David Wilson seems to be the hot property. Yes, hot property for sure. And if you go off last year's draft class, even I think the last 2 years worth of draft classes, David Wilson would probably be your guy, only because of his potential. But, again, to put him in the class with some of the other guys at this point, I think would be going a little bit too far. Now, David Cleary writes in, curveball. He wants to go Victor Cruz. He has to be the best since the Giants didn't even use a draft pick on him. Well, technically, by the rules of this little game here, Dave, I'm not sure I can accept that answer. But if you're talking about pure value in terms of an acquisition, Victor Cruz is certainly in the conversation. But I'm talking pure draft picks here, which is why Eli Manning doesn't qualify as a first-round pick. Surprising, I haven't seen many people write in Eli. Mike Farmer did. He likes JPP as number two. Brandon Diggs writes in Eli as well. So that's interesting. But you know what? I think Andrew wrote in a very, very, very good one. Now, Mike Farmer writes in again. Look up the stat. Now, okay, maybe you want me to call him a shutdown corner, Mike? That's fine. I don't know if shutdown corner is a technical term in the National Football League. And I don't have those numbers in front of me. I'd have to look it up. But all I know is that Terrell Thomas is a very, very, very good corner for the New York Giants when he was healthy. And I'm not sure which year you're referring to with the interceptions. I got to look at his career stats. I forget what year he had all those picks. But all I know is that Terrell Thomas is a very effective corner. You want me to use shutdown? Fine, I won't use shutdown. But he was an excellent corner when he was starting for the Giants. And he was a guy that was very valuable, and the Giants would have re-signed him to a very lucrative contract if not for his injury problems at his knee. 201-939-4513. Jeff likes to trade for Eli Manning. If he stuck with Phillip Rivers, who knows where he would be. I like the trade, not necessarily the draft pick. But I think the point that Andrew brought up in terms of David Deal was a good one. You know, I mentioned Will Bedia as a second-round pick getting starting left tackle. That's great. But David Deal has played four different offensive line positions, both guard spots, both tackle spots. He's been a starting left tackle on two Super Bowl teams, and he's a fifth-round pick. That is an easy argument to make for being a top player and a best draft pick for the Giants. Back to our phones at 201-939-4513. Pete, New Jersey. Pete, go ahead, pal. Pete, go ahead, Ben.
Yes, hi. My name is Pete. I'm from New Jersey, and
go ahead, Pete.
I'm a Giants fan.
Great.
And my question is the New York Giants going to sign Victor Cruz or not?
I'm sorry, Pete. Say that again.
My question is the New York Giants, is they going to sign Victor Cruz or not? Because I feel that he's a good player, and he's a fan favorite, and I just feel that, you know, that he's a good player, and I just feel that they give him a run around. Either they're going to sign him, or is they going to let him walk, or is another team going to get him? Is he going to remain a Giant for a long term? That's what I want to know, and that's what a lot of other fans want to know too, you know, because he's a Giants favorite, you know. He's a good player, he's a terrific player, and we feel that, you know, if they take Victor Cruz away, if they don't sign him, you know, they're going to lose a lot of fans, you know. A lot of people is not going to be too happy. Millions of people is not going to be happy that are Giant fans. And a lot of them, like myself and other fans as well, be on the bandwagon whether we, you know, we should go to another team or not. Because even though Giants been around for a long time, but because of Victor Cruz, you know, a lot of people started watching, a lot of people became Giant fans because of him.
No, you're right,
Pete.
We just
want to know, are they going to take care of him? Are they going to keep him?
Pete, look, I could tell you this, and I think I have fairly good news for you. I can't make any guarantees because I don't think anybody knows exactly what's going to happen. But here's the bottom line. Victor Cruz wants to be with the Giants. The Giants want Victor Cruz. And generally, when those two things are aligned, the player will come back. So I think in the end, Victor Cruz will be back with the Giants. Now, can I guarantee you they're going to sign a long-term contract within the next few weeks and have him here for another 5 or 6 years? I don't know if that's going to happen right away. I think it might take a little bit. Maybe they'll sign him to that one-year tender. He'll stick around for a year, and then we'll see if they decide to extend him after this season. The issue with Victor Cruz is twofold, really. Number one, the Giants have cap issues, so they have to fit whatever contract they give Victor Cruz under the salary cap. That's number one. Number two, whatever they give Victor Cruz is going to affect what they have to pay Akiem Nicks. And when you're building a roster, it's very hard to dedicate. You know, if you pay Victor Cruz 12, Akiem Nicks is going to want 12. Then you got basically given $25 million to your two starting wide receivers. That's a lot of money. So you have to do it in a responsible way where you don't hurt your team in the long run by paying Victor Cruz too much money. The Giants recognize his value. They know how good he is. They want him back. Victor Cruz wants to be here. They'll figure out a way to get it done, but it might be a little bit more painful and give you a little more agita than you'd like if you're a Giant fan. But I do think eventually it will get done.
Okay. And another question, and I'm going to let you go.
Sure.
Okay. So suppose, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Suppose suppose you give him that tender tag. Okay, you tender him and you give that tender tag, and I think you get like $2.9 million, whatever the case may be.
Right.
Now, another team could come, and in that process, another team could come and bid for him. What happened if you tender him and say like another team offer him a deal? He could go.
Well, that's correct. The franchise, the tender rule is not like the franchise rule. The Giants don't have a right to match like they would with the franchise tag. That's not how it works. However, another team, if they do try to go over the top when the Giants give them that first round tender and they do offer him a big time contract, in my opinion, I think before Cruz signs that contract, he'll go to the Giants and say, look, I'm getting X number of dollars in an offer from another team. I'll give you guys an opportunity to give me something similar. Now, if the Giants think he's bluffing and they try to call his bluff, then you know what? They take the risk of losing him. That is a risk they will take. But I think it's unlikely another team will try to give Victor Cruz. Let's be honest. If they really want to get Cruz from the Giants, they're going to have to offer him upwards of $12 million a year on a contract. Otherwise, I think the Giants will give him something similar. And then on top of that, they'll also have to give up a number one draft pick. I think it's very unlikely another team would be willing to pay that price in terms of picks and money in order to get Victor Cruz on their roster.
Right.
All right, Pete?
I understand now. But if the Giants, if they let Cruz, I'm serious, if they let Victor Cruz walk, they're going to lose a lot of business. They're going to lose a lot of fans. Just think about the Latino community. Just think about a lot of people that really wasn't a Giant fan and that really didn't watch football, but they started watching football because of Victor Cruz, because he brings excitement to the team, and the Giants haven't had that excitement in a long, long time. He is the key factor of that team, and they really need to try to work out something. I know they got to try to work out with Hakeem Nicks. I'm not disputing him because he's good too, but Victor Cruz, he's the money maker. He's the one that really people that really come out to see and chance in the seats. Cruz, and when he makes the touchdown, people really want to see him do that salsa dance, and he's really a dynamic, he's a terrific player. So they need to try to work something out. They really need to.
All right, Pete, appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You have a good one. And you know what, that's the funny thing. And you can hear the passion in Pete's voice, pumped up, loves Victor Cruz, and that's the trick the Giants are in. And really, it's also a trick that Victor Cruz is a part of too, because if he leaves New York, I think he loses a lot of that popularity based on the location, the makeup of the population, and the makeup of Giant fans. And I think he benefits being a part of the New York Giants as much as the Giants benefit having Victor Cruz as a member of their organization. I think it does work both ways. So that's why I think eventually they'll figure out how to get it done. I really think Victor Cruz will be here for a very long time. I understand why you worry about it. I get that. And I do think he brings in a lot of fans that maybe wouldn't normally be football fans. I agree with that, too. And that's why I think eventually both sides will look at things in the big picture and say, you know what, this is the best place for both of us. Let's work this out. Let's figure it out. And we'll go from there. Will it be tomorrow? Probably not. Will Giant fans have to sweat it out a bit? Maybe. I don't blame Victor Cruz. He's trying to maximize his value. I mean, look at Steve Smith. One day in practice, he dies for a deep ball, blows out his knee, never the same player, misses out on his big payday. If you're Victor Cruz, don't you want to make your money now if you can and make as much as you can? Because in the NFL, you never know what's going to happen with an injury. He hasn't made a lot of money yet, at least in football terms. So there you go. 201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Len is in Maryland. I thought Len would call up. Who do you think, Len, last 10 years, best draft pick? Give it to me. What do you got?
Well, I got three guys with three different categories, John. It's a great question, by the way.
Okay.
Best offensive guard who's ever played for the Giants, Chris Snead.
Okay, I like that one too.
I think the most valuable, I just can't get away from this guy, the most valuable in the last 10 years was that seventh-round pick with Ahmad Bradshaw. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Hall of Famer out of the last 10 years is going to be JPP. So that's, I'd go Snead. Best guard we've ever had on the Giants, offensive guard. And Bradshaw is the most valuable. And JPP is, and I hope I'm right on this, a surefire Hall of Famer.
Now, Len,
great,
I,
great, great
I, I get what you're saying, but I find it funny, and it's not just you. It's kind of everybody that's been answering these questions on Twitter and on the phones. Everyone's discounting the three guys that are really the defensive cornerstones of their two Super Bowls, Webster, OC, and Tuck. Without those three guys, or even without one or two of those three guys, they don't have two rings.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, you know, when you were going over the names before and going down the draftees, I guess you got through maybe six of the years. You know, there's some darn good players there, John.
Yep.
You know, there's some darn good players, and of course, you know, except for Ahmad in the seventh round. You know, you're talking first, second, and third. I know Deal was what, a fifth. I think Deal was a fifth.
Yeah, Deal as a fifth round. Deal as a fifth round pick is great value. Great value in the fifth round.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with any of the guys that you have. That was just my own personal feeling about
what
the deal was. And I got one for you. I want to make a trade this morning, real quick. I want to make a trade, and you heard me say this before.
All right, what do you got?
I want to call the Jets this morning, and I want to offer them a sixth round draft choice for Revis.
And then the Jets will laugh at you.
It's on the table. Tell them it's on the table, and it'll be there till draft day. I think the Jets are kidding themselves if they think they're going to get a lot for Revis. I mean, not only we got to somebody's got to give up the draft pick, and then we got to deal with this guy to sign a contract. I'll go through that. I'll deal with that problem. I'll lay a six-round draft choice out there for the Jets. The worst thing the Giants have ever done to me, John, in all the years I've been following them, is trading Sam Huff in 1964. If Victor doesn't sign with the Giants long term, that'll be the second worst thing that ever happened to me as a Giants fan. I hope they sign Victor. I think they will. I think you're right on. I think they will. But he's just, you know, I think we're looking at 60 touchdowns over the next 6 or 7 years from Victor. We're all going to learn how to do the salsa in those 6 or 7 years. But I think the Giants will work it out with him. Like you said, I think he wants to be a Giant, and I think the Giants want him. You got it lined up.
You have to do it intelligently, though. You can't just give him a blank check because there's a domino effect that's going to affect other contracts down the road.
I think so. And I think Victor knows that, too. And I think he understands the off-field opportunities here in New York. I don't think they're overrated, John. I think the off-field opportunities are terrific for a guy like Cruz here in the metro area. And he's a smart kid, and I'm sure he's getting good advice. And I think it's going to be a good match. And I think we'll be talking about Victor for a long time. At least I'm hoping so, John.
All right, Len.
I think the guy's a terrific player. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Great question this morning, John.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, Len. Thanks for the input. And he's right. Value Bradshaw. I think I like Deal at a five better than Bradshaw at a seven. I will take Deal at a five over Bradshaw at a seven. I think a starting left tackle that can play four offensive line positions is a little bit more valuable than running back. Mike Farmer's going to have my head. He's in the charter member of the Ma Bradshaw fan club. He's going to want to kill me for saying that. I know that. That's cool, though. I get it. I'll take Deal with a five. Sorry, Mike. What can I tell you? Wait for the tweets to start coming in now. 201-939-4513. Oh, back to our two guys. Now, these guys were – I'm going to start with Steve in D.C. first. This guy was supposed to be snowed in, plows everywhere, and nothing happens, and D.C. was in a panic for absolutely no reason.
I'll tell you what happened, man. The kids stayed home and drove me crazy. That's what always happens, you know. But, you know, nevertheless, man, we were glad to take a day off here. Beautiful weather today, guys. I missed the question. First of all, how's everybody doing?
Everyone's great, Steve. How about yourself?
Good. I'm great. Listen, I'm not as pumped up as Pete or as my good friend Len is in regard to Victor Cruz. Now, I'm really feeling like it's going to get done, but I have to say, if I were to lean anywhere, I would definitely have to lean towards the tenure. I mean, I bleed blue, been a Giant fan for well over 35 years, and, I don't want to see the guy walk, you know. We know what he means to the team, we know what he means to the city, we know what he means to, all of the fans, and hopefully, if that were to happen, fans will remain fans, but I would just like to say that, we can't overpay for him. We just can't. You know, I mean, he's kind of like the Wes Welker to us. You know what I'm saying? we don't know if it's a system thing. We don't know if he's going to be durable. You know, we don't know what could happen in the future. Now, I understand why he would like to, get as much out of his opportunity as possible. hopefully what the New York area brings to him as far as, you know, other money will weigh a big factor. And I think he's a good kid. He will sign. So I'm going to leave that alone because I'm really not that worried about him. I'm more upset about Brett using Bradshaw, to be honest with you. And, you know, I would just like to say, as far as the receivers, you know, we can't lose sight of Dominique Hickson is still out there. You know, hopefully we may get him re-signed. And, you know, I just think that long-term, we got to, like you said, look at, you know, Victor Cruz. But I think the question was, you know, about the draft picks. And I'm just wondering, what are you guys thinking? You know, I've kind of been going back and forth about Tao, and he's starting to look like a good pick for us. What do you guys think?
I think Tao at 19 is probably a little high. I know he did better on his, you know, 20 and 10-yard portions of that 40 time than he did on the 40-yard dash overall. I think he's a little high at 19. I think an offensive lineman lines up for the Giants well in that spot, but I think more than that, I think you're looking at a D-tackle or a D-N for the Giants at that pick number 19. I think that's where they're going to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't think that we could possibly get him at a, you know, at an undervalue. I know, obviously, there's, you know, there's set amounts as far as at that pick, but I just feel like, you know, we really need a linebacker. You know, we really need a linebacker.
Steve, I think there's a better chance if a guy like Alec Ogletree drops because of the off-the-field problems. And the Giants, remember, they've mm-hmm. taken problem childs before. They've taken Ahmad Bradshaw. They've taken Mario Manningham. They've taken Jaron Hosley. Guys that had issues in college, and they interview and they think, you know, they're a better person than their mistakes might indicate. So I think there's a chance the Giants could take a chance on a guy like Ogletree if he falls that far, which at this point seems unlikely based on his off-the-field mm-hmm. stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, that would be great. I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, rah-rah tail, don't get me wrong, but what do you think about possibly looking at Nnamdi?
Oh, boy. No. First of all, the Eagles haven't cut him yet, which I can't believe. I can't believe that guy's still on the roster. I think he's, what, a $10 million cap number or 12, something crazy like that. They think they can trade this guy with that salary? Not to mention, if you trade a guy, you take a huge salary hit yourself on your cap. So I'm not sure why he's still on that roster. I'm not sure what evil machinations Chip Kelly has going through his head, but I can't imagine Nnamdi Asamoah will be back with the Eagles next year.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting. I'm just, you know, I'm thinking he would probably take a huge cut to come right over to the Meadowlands.
Well, you know what? He would have to take a big pay cut. I think he'd rather get cut and take his chances in free agency. You know what I mean? I think he'll find better money somewhere else.
Yeah, guys. Well, I'll tell you, well, what do you guys think? We said offensive lineman, you know, as far as the draft is concerned?
I think front seven. I think if a good linebacker's there, I think you take them. Like you said, linebacker's a big need, Steve. But honestly, look at Jerry Reese's history. If there's really good defensive linemen, especially considering the struggles the Giants had there last year stopping the run and getting after the quarterback, I think they go defensive line.
Yeah, well, you know, I can see your point. I'm just really not sure it's going to make that big of a difference. You know, I feel like we had the players in place at our defensive line. I'm just wondering, we're going to need a difference maker at the linebacker position.
Well, Steve, how about this, though? Opening day, who's starting a tackle right now besides Linval Joseph?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. What is it? Rocky Bernard is gone, correct?
He is a free agent. That's correct.
So, you don't think we're going to re-sign him again?
I think the Giants would rather get a little younger at that position than get older.
Well, isn't it time for Marvin Austin to step up?
They'll give him the opportunity, but you can't count on him. You have to give him some type of real competition at that spot.
Yeah, well, what about the big kid from Germany? What's his name? I'm sorry.
Marcus Kuhn's coming off that knee.
Yeah.
He'll have an opportunity to compete for it, too. But, look, I think you want to give these young guys some competition. You want to have as many possibilities there as you can.
Yeah, well, this, you know, luckily there's a lot of our free agency linebackers out there too. So hopefully we'll get somebody who's fairly young and, you know, see what happens from there. But I'm just really more interested in the linebacker position. I'm just wondering because we don't have any linebackers really. You know, we need some bigger linebackers. I want to see some people coming downhill rather than lateral.
Steve, you know, I hear you, man.
So, hey guys, thanks a lot for taking my calls. Always great listening to you We'll talk to you soon. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I think Steve right there was trying to be part of Rand Paul's filibuster last night. been part of that 12-hour marathon session on Capitol Hill. He would have spit right in, too. 201-939-4513. Alan's in D.C. Alan, what's up, pal?
What's going on, man?
How are you?
Pretty good, man. I'm surprised nobody mentioned Ramsey Barden as a best draft pick.
That's the line of the morning, Alan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm so surprised, man, because I kind of agree more with the lens of the world, man. I'm a Bradshaw. Like, I think he was a great draft pick, especially coming in the later rounds, and just the amount of work he did throughout his career with us, you know. And hopefully, you know, there's still a way for him to come back maybe next year for the upcoming season. I would love to see him. And I also like JPP. I think that was a solid choice. And I don't know Hall of Fame just yet, but, you know, he's got a long way to go to get to Strahan and those guys, you know. So hopefully he gets the job done. The final thing was, the Victor Cruz thing. You know, I'm a big fan, so. Yeah, I'm more on the Pete's and the lens of the world, man. Pay the guy, man. Just pay him. Like, he's gonna do what he's gonna do. He's proven in his first two seasons he's consistent, you know, and I think he's gonna continue that trend. I mean, obviously, you know, last year it was impacted because, you know, he got, you know, double coverage a lot, because of Nick's injury. But you know, his first season when he was there with a healthy Knicks, he broke Marnie Toomer's record for yards, you know, or whoever. And, I mean, that was his first season, you know, and the upscale on this guy, like, you know, the upside of this guy is we haven't even seen what Victor Cruz is really all about. So, you know, I know Steve and probably other fans are very conservative, and I know it's got a similar effect with the Knicks contract for the next season, but, man, this is one of those things where you just got to eat it, man. You just got to eat it and you know, do what you got to do, man, because he's a solid player, you know. You guys compared him a little bit to the Wes Welker. Look at what Brady did. You know, he's purposely taking money out of his checks so he can maybe keep him on board, you know. So these guys are hard to find in the slot. And I think he's going to be great, and I think he's worth the money.
Now, Alan, I hear you. Look, there are other risks, too, with Cruz. He got banged around a little bit end of last year. You saw him take a lot of big hits over the middle. I think you worry about him staying healthy a little bit. He did have a number of drops. You worry about that. But I think everything you said is right. He's a good player. The Giants like him here now and for the future, and that's why I think they'll eventually figure it out.
That's what's up, man.
All right, Alan. Appreciate it, brother. Have a good one. Sorry, we got to wrap up the show real quick, but first let's get to Dave in Rochester before we say goodbye. Dave, what's up, Howie?
Johnny, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, I want to expand on your question. I think you kind of nailed it. Since the drafts in the past 10 years have been the bread and butter,
yeah,
and you can tell with the draft picks because we won 2 Super Bowls. But I wanted to go back a little bit. If you go back before 2003, what stars have we had? Before that, 2002, all you got is Jeremy Shockey. 2001, maybe Will Allen.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe 2000, Ron Dane, not really. Cornelius Griffin, nothing really. 98, Luke Pettigrew, maybe. 98, we had nothing.
No,
I think,
absolutely.
Absolutely nothing. And you go back all the way back to 97 with Ike Hilliard, Tiki Barber, and then Brad Maynard.
And Sam Garns in that draft, too, who was a good player for the Giants.
And Sam Garns. So you got almost 6 years of nothing other than maybe those couple guys of nothing. So the past 10 years is really where it's been at. So.
Yeah, no question. Hey, you know what, Dave? You like to go off the beaten path here. I've asked you the best draft pick was over the last 10 years. Who do you think was the Giants' worst draft pick over the last 10 years? I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, my gosh. I think the most unfortunate was what's the gentleman that got in a bad car accident?
Chad Jones.
I think that was probably the most traumatic one, the most unfortunate. I think he had one of the best potentials. But the worst, I don't know. I mean,
Okay, okay, here we go. There's only really one first-round draft pick that I would consider a bust, and that is the same year the Giants drafted OC and David Deal back in 2003. I think you have to go with William Joseph.
Right. Yeah, yeah, they had big plans for him. And then what about even 2010, Philip Dillard?
Philip Dillard, that's a good one. And, you know, even how about Clint Sintem in 2009, second-round pick?
There you go. There you go. If you remember that year, he during the preseason, I think he played the last two, three, four preseason games, and they predicted him to be a starter.
He did, yes. Dillard, you're right.
Because he did so good. So, all right, Johnny, thank you so much. Talk to you.
All right, Dave, appreciate it. I put Dave on the spot there. I feel bad. I figured he's always on his toes. I figured he'd give me some good names. He did. He came up with some good names. But, yeah, if you want to talk about that, some of the guys that didn't work out, you know, Sintem, that's more injury, though, than I think with performance. Always had those knee problems. Sonoris Moss, you can throw in that category, I suppose. Jairus Wilkinson didn't quite pan out the way the Giants would have liked. Again, then you have, like, William Joseph, another guy that maybe didn't exactly reach potential. And then Marvin Austin. He still has time to rectify this, though. He had, not very productive the first couple years. He still has a chance to turn that around. All right, everybody, good job on the phone today. Thanks for joining us. Good talk on the Giants draft picks over the last 10 years and some other stuff in Giants land as well. I'm going to try to get a guest for tomorrow's show. Not sure what I'm going to do yet. Maybe I'll get Meadow on the phone. That might not be a bad idea. Talk some Giants football with you right here on Giants.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Have a good one.